One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Chris Pajak. This is Ian Young, and that there is the man, the legend, Mr. John Machin. We are here to talk about Liverpool against Burnley at Burnley at the weekend. Ian, Burnley struggling a little bit at the moment, I think it's fair to say.
I quite enjoy it, you know, because I'm not the biggest Burnley fan ever. It's one of them...
Even Burnley fans aren't the biggest Burnley fans ever anymore because of the style of play.
It's one of them fixtures, isn't it? When you see it coming up, you just drop your head and you go, oh, here we go. This season, they're struggling to be what Burnley do, which is a physical team that get points. They're not doing that. They've turned into what Burnley you'd expect from like 1996, where you just go over and roll over them. Hopefully that'll be us at the weekend. We really, really should be far too much for Burnley. And I hope we just come away with 3 points and keep our run going.
Yeah, I think, John, obviously they are struggling. You mentioned off camera, they've got one win in 20. But what they have got is 11 draws. So they're still quite difficult to beat.
Yeah, that's their only weapon at the moment, is not conceding as well as not scoring. The number of 0-0 draws they've had is phenomenal.
I mean, their last three games have been draws, two of which were 0-0.
Yeah, and the other one was United, wasn't it? 1-1. Yeah. So they came back from 1-0 down in that. So obviously there's still a bit of fight in them. They just hate United, one or the other.
Or United are shit.
Yeah. There is that. I mean, I feel a bit sorry for them because...
not United, Burnley.
Burnley. Because their top goal scorer went away to Africa for 6 weeks.
Well, we've all been there, haven't we?
And I don't think he played.
Really?
If he played, he only played once, I think. And he's come back and I've read this earlier on, they're actually complaining about he's not fit. Because they've
haven't trained.
And they haven't trained properly to the Premier League standards.
Oh, Christ.
I feel a bit sorry for them. This is a team who's not scored any goals in there.
Oh, we shouldn't laugh because it's going to end up biting us on the arse, this, isn't it? But we mentioned the not scoring, not conceding. By comparison to the other sides around them, so they've conceded 28 goals. I'm just going to bring the Premier League table up in front of me now so you can all see this. They've conceded 28. The next best defensive record is Brighton, all the way up in ninth. I mean, that's a different now. Obviously, the goals scored, they're the worst in the league, I believe, 28. Oh, Brighton. Is that Brighton again? Oh, no, there we go. No, Brighton, 17. Yeah, they're the worst. Oh, no, Norwich. Norwich don't score goals either. So this is the problem for Burnley, as you mentioned, John. It's they don't score, they don't concede, but they are going to be tough to break down regardless.
Yeah, well, it makes sense, doesn't it? If you can't score goals, well, just stop the opposition scoring any. So if you get a point a game all season, you're not that far off being safe. Yeah, but, of course, that hasn't worked points. For them yeah. Because they're so far below everyone else.
You know. This, I mean, I think, Ian, I'm sure you'll probably have watched the game against Manchester United. That Weghorst looked a little bit Andy Carroll to me, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, I could see him causing some sides problems. And when he started to drop deep against United, I thought he started to link play quite well.
He was that good. He made Harry Maguire tackle his own player, which is wonderful to watch. I think if anybody's going to pose a problem, it'll probably be him. Maybe Jay Rodriguez as well if he comes in. Burnley are what they are. They're a big physical team. I think wherever Sean Dyche goes, whenever he ever takes the choice to leave Burnley, wherever he goes, he'll make them a big, tough physical side, because that's Sean Dyche. That's what he does. That's what he was as a player. They're going to be hard to break down, but we should have the tools and the minerals to do it. If we haven't got the team, I'd be a little bit disappointed on Sunday if we haven't done that. Because one thing that I used to worry about when we played Burnley was Burnley would out-battle us. Now, if you watch that Liverpool team last night, I don't think there's many teams that are going to out-battle Liverpool now because of the way we are. When you've got Fabinho in there and you've got Van Dijk in there, and we might make a change. We might bring Konate in because of how physical Konate is. Konate might come in to try to out-physical Burnley. You've got options there now. But yeah, I think we've got enough to do. I hope we've got enough to do.
Yeah, I think, John, for me, look, we're going to talk about Liverpool's options and stuff in the second half of the show, but what can we bring from last night's game against Leicester, and what learnings can we take forward to take Burnley on?
I don't know if it's anything particularly from Leicester. It's just the way we play is always aggressively, mm-hmm. and we're always on the front foot, and we're always pressing high up the pitch. And you know what's probably going to happen with Burnley is they're going to sit deep, and they're going to try and get away with it, you know, and they're going to make life difficult. I mean, didn't they beat us last year or something ridiculous?
Weren't they the ones who broke our Anfield record in the lockdown? Like, I think. So I think we've won the last two games, 3-0 and 2-0 maybe.
They're a difficult side to play. I mean, they're not a likeable side anymore. I always used to quite like Burnley. You know, I mean, it was a great away game when I was young. That was one of the easiest away games to get to, so you always wanted them in the same division. And the town's a nice little town and all. You know, it was a nice team to watch. They were a very good side, actually, in the 60s. They were probably the second best side in the country. And they've steadily just become this horrible side who just nasty and dour. And I think Sean Dyche's another one of these guys. We were talking about Leicester and Rodgers before, that he's probably outstayed his welcome. He should have probably left about 3 years ago.
Yeah,
he's run out of ideas.
He's had so few tools to work with, and in the money side of things. I mean, by far the lowest wage bill in the league, and it has been for a long time. He's sort of been there's only so long you can spin plates for, isn't there?
Yeah, so, I mean, they'll always be disciplined. They'll always know how to defend, and they'll always throw a high ball up, you know, to try and get on a header or whatever. And they got rid of Chris Wood, and now they brought in someone who's even taller and probably better in the air. So, you know, that's what you can expect, really. And I'm just hoping that we have the skills to break them down and score. Mm-hmm. I think if we score reasonably early, it'll be fine. The longer the game goes on without a goal, the more difficult the game's going to get.
Okay, we're going to get into the nitty gritty now. We're going to talk about Liverpool. But before we do, we've got a trivia question. So, what former Liverpool player played his final Premier League games for Burnley in 2019? A little bit different to the normal question. I've put a bit more time and effort into this one. So you can mull that one over while we have a word from our ultimate fan, Mr. Paul Machin, who is thoroughly enjoying this game.
Hey everyone, Mate here. If you're enjoying this podcast, then do go and check out Red Men Plus, our Liverpool streaming service, giving you tons of extra podcasts each and every month. There's Journo Insight, there's the Around the League show, the Debate show, the Opposition preview, and interviews with Liverpool legends past and present as well. Tons of content to keep you occupied, keep you busy, thrilled, entertained, and go deeper on Liverpool FC culture. Head to theredmentv.com. Sign up and join us on Red Men Plus.
What former Liverpool player played his final Premier League games for Burnley in 2019? Now, nobody in the comments that I've seen has put an answer in for this. There's been one guest that I've seen from Jen LFC, one of our YouTube members. Thank you, Jen, who guessed Flanagan, who did play for Burnley, but not his last. In fact, you know what? You might be right. I didn't check whether Flanagan played his last Premier League minutes for Burnley, because he might have gone to Scotland after that. I should probably check that. But we're just going to ignore that answer and say that it's wrong for now. In fact, no, we'll ignore it. I haven't seen anybody answer this question in the comments at all, including you, Jen LFC, OK? What I have seen is my good friend, you've got a friend in me who's happier with my jumper selection for today's show after calling me out on the last Uncensored Match Build-Up show. And Owen Leonard has just come in with Crouch. Jen LFC comes in. First answer for Jen. She says Crouch. And Dillett Wyatt Brown says Crouch. You three are all correct. Ian also got it correct in the studio in our break. So there you go. Joe Wolfall as well. Crouchy, well done. Well done. Obviously, he was at Stoke, went on loan to Burnley. I think he made 6 sub appearances, something like that, and then went back to Stoke and played in the Championship to finish his career. So well done. If you got that, give yourselves a big pat on the back or a slap on the face. It's up to you. Whatever you prefer, the tickle or what. So, Liverpool side of things now. It's Sadio Mane, Henderson, both available for this game. We've got a tweet coming up soon, I think, I hope. From David Lynch, who says Sadio Mane and Jordan Henderson, Ian, he didn't actually say Ian, are available for Liverpool's trip to Burnley. Jurgen Klopp also confirms no injury problems for Divock Origi or Joe Gomez. We've got a full squad.
It's scary, that, isn't it? When was the last time we could say that? When was the last time we could ever say we've had a full squad? I can't ever remember it.
Pre-COVID, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe. And then Matip or Lovren or Joe Gomez would have been injured.
And when you look at the squad we had last night, it's only getting improved. It's going to be improved by Sunday. And it's a good time to be a Liverpool fan, I think. I think the hardest job we've got as Liverpool fans is selecting what'll be our first 11 on Sunday, cause which is down to you normally. So
yeah, and it is down to me today, which is why I'm here to ask you your opinions and get help from my start 11 prediction later on, which is why I love doing the build-up show before you do it. So John, what do you think the start 11 is going to be later for today?
Well, the defence picks itself. I think that's, you know, I don't think it'll be changing.
Just
that
for clarity, tell me the four that you're thinking.
Trent Alexander-Arnold, you remember him?
Yeah. Has anyone got a pen and unrelated?
Joel Matip.
Okay.
The superstar. Virgil van Dijk and Andy Robertson.
Okay.
That Scottish fella, you remember him?
Yeah, Ian Brew.
Up front,
battered Mars bars.
Mo Salah's going to start because he'll kill Jurgen Klopp. Jota has got to play because he's just phenomenal at the moment. And on the left wing is going to be Diaz.
Okay. Midfield three?
Midfield three is tougher.
Yeah, but
it's going to be Fabinho.
Okay.
Now, Henderson will play if he's fit. Then it's a question of, do you go tough and play Thiago, who may not have another game in him after Thursday? May come a bit quick for him. Or do you go a bit more expansive, trying to break down 11 men? You might need Curtis. You might need Harvey Elliott. I'm going Harvey Elliott.
Okay, if you could just clip that out for me, Tom, and put that up as the starting 11 prediction, that would be absolutely fantastic and save me a little bit of time later on in my day. I like the sound of that, to be honest with you, Ian. Do you?
Yeah, I do. I just think the one change I think Canati might come in just because it's physicality. I don't think there'll be too much of Matip coming out with the ball against Burnley because they'll just try and break his legs, which is what they do because they're like the Northern Wimbledon. But I'd go with Dan. I think Harvey Elliott might get his first start on Sunday, but I think Canate might get this out just ahead of Matip because they might keep Matip for the Inter Milan.
That's an interesting point, actually, isn't it? Is how, you know, it's such a big game now. We're into the business end of the Champions League season. You can't take any chances with that game. And, you know, with the greatest of respect to Burnley, they're 20th in the league. Klopp's been rotating all season long, no matter the opposition, because he trusts his squads. Is there anybody that you think, you know what, you mentioned Thiago there, John, is he the guy that maybe you think, I'll save him for Inter?
Inter Milan, definitely, yeah.
Anybody else?
I have a sneaking feeling Jimmy Milner will be in the mix for Inter Milan because he likes him in away games in Europe. I suppose there's an argument to keep Hendo for Inter Milan as well, but I think he'd probably play both.
it's that experience of being there and going through what a...
Well, I think Harvey Elliott's, you know, probably leave him out in Milan. And Bobby come in, I think, probably for Inter Milan as well.
But
and
I like the
Mane. Mane might well get a shout in Inter Milan.
It's interesting, isn't it? Okay, so, you know, I think one of the things that I wanted to talk about, Ian, in this show is certainly the midfield options that we've got. John sort of alluded to it there. I mean, we've got every type of midfielder now. I mean, how does Jürgen make a decision on who's the best midfield three? Because I can't pick our best midfield three anymore.
If you'd have looked back earlier in the season, everyone was complaining about how light we were in the midfield, and because apparently we've got all these injury-prone midfielders that never get to play and blah, 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 blah. And I've never seen such a packed central midfield area. That when you consider that years ago you only played two central midfielders and we played three, if we'd be playing two central midfielders now, we'd be in a lot of trouble because not many of them be getting games. I think Sunday he'll go with the more physical side. I think Elliot might come in just because he has a little bit of tricks and he can find little spaces. He does the odd nutmeg, doesn't he? And I think we're going to need that. We're going to need someone who's a little bit intricate, so almost Coutinho-like. And I think Harvey Elliott does that well. So I think if we bring him in, and then you'll have Fabinho and maybe someone else physical in there. I would imagine it would be Fabinho and Henderson and Elliott. Henderson and Fabinho be physical and let Elliott just dive in and out of the spaces and try and find space for Mo Salah.
Yeah, I mean, Mo's going to be key as well, isn't he? As he always is, John. You know, low block side, they're not going to show any... Well, they don't want to get out. They don't want to try and score goals. It's not what they do. They want to hit you, maybe get a lucky one almost. He's going to have to bring them down.
He likes to occupy defenders. Well, you know, that's what he does. He's just on the pitch. He's occupying three defenders, Mo. And I think in their last game they played their top scorer on the left, on the wing. Mm-hmm. But apparently...
Cornet.
That's him, yeah. I think he was absolutely dreadful defensively.
I think he's a doubt as well, you know.
Is he? Well,
I think so.
It's probably a good thing then for his sanity because Mo and Harvey Elliott would destroy him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've got it up in front of me now, injury table. Maxwell Cornet, we need to get him through games and not break him. It's not a serious one, but he was cramping up. We have to be careful. We can't keep losing players. Currently being assessed 75% chance of playing. So, you know, not much of a doubt, but if they're playing the long game, they should be playing the long game with Liverpool at the weekend. Maybe it's a game where you go, Liverpool's a bit of a free hit. Let's save him for the next 10 games. Let's not make sure his injury gets worse.
Yeah, I mean, I think their priority is going to not lose.
Yes.
You know, for them, you know, this is a game. If you can get a draw out of it, then it's actually a point in the bag for you. You know, you're playing, they were playing Norwich or they were playing Wolves or whatever. They'd think, oh, we've got to try and win this. I don't think they'll have that thought against Liverpool. I think they'll try and survive.
They're not going to come out until they concede. That's when they're going to come out.
And not even at 1-0. If they concede in the first minute, they're not coming out until 70 minutes at 1-0 even, are they? That's just not what they do. One of the things that I do want to ask about, I think I saw it on Twitter. I think it was a mate of ours, Sutton Scouser, actually, who'd said, who misses out on the bench? Because, you know...
Suddenly you've got too many players
Christ,
on the bench.
Yeah. I mean...
You're naming seven subs and you've got too many. Yeah.
So, I mean, let's look at the midfield options alone. You got Fabinho, you got Henderson... You got Milner, you got Keita, you got Ox, you got Curtis, you've got Thiago, you've got Harvey Elliott. Have I missed anyone there? I mean, Morton's obviously a backup. Yeah. DM.
And Ox.
Ox, 10. Right, so you could pretty much name a three-man midfield and nearly fill your bench.
Yeah.
With midfielders if you wanted.
I think Milner will always get in there because of his ability to play the two full-back roles if needed. So he'll always be on the bench. I think it's only ever going to be one now between Ox, Keita...
Minamino.
Because it's only going to be one of them three. Because you're going... And I think Curtis will probably get the nod now because I think he has... the better ability to go out wide if he needs to come on as a wide attacker. I think he's probably a better option than Ox, whereas Ox I think, does his best work from centre midfield. So I think you're looking at Curtis being there, Milner.
Milner can play so many positions, so you do.
It's valuable on the bench. But even, like, we obviously, it was more valuable when it was seven subs, but it's still something the Klopp rates. I mean, let's say, let's start with it. You're going to have Kelleher on there.
Yeah.
You're going to have an out-and-out centre-half. So let's say Konaté or Matip.
Yeah.
You're going to have Tsimikas because he likes Tsimikas there. You'll take Milner as your right-back cover. There's four of the nine already.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we've not even got onto midfielders yet. You know, you could have conceivably Mane and Diaz on the bench or...
I think Mane will be on the bench, and therefore, you know, that your options are limited because he'll definitely be somewhere in the squad, won't he? And if he's not, then it would be Diaz on the bench. But I can't see Mane playing straight away. I don't think he's been back long enough to get.
No, and if he didn't start Salah on Thursday, he's probably not going to start Mane on Sunday.
Especially after the bang to the head he had at the AFCON as well. I mean, I know we played the game after, but he.
The concussion and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I think you've got to be really worried. I think once he gets back to the AXA, that'll be really closely looked at, that, because I don't think they've looked at it as closely as they would have done when they did, he was at Liverpool.
You want him chomping at the bit as well, though, don't you? I mean, he's gone away. Liverpool have all of a sudden signed someone in his position. He's going to come back. He's going to be buoyed by the fact that he's
full of confidence.
He's full of confidence. Yeah. But also, if you can just hold him back a little bit, you get him chomping at the bit to get back into the side. Right, I've got to go and prove myself now. I've got to show everyone I'm better than Diaz. I've got to get goals. I've got to try and force my way back into a side. It's my position. I want to go out there and I want to prove it, John.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's probably going to win the next African Footballer of the Year, isn't he?
It's him or Mao.
You know, well, I think if you look at the competition, he was far the best player out there. Better than Mo in terms of his performances, particularly when, as you said, he had a bang on the head and had concussion, still scored after that. He's going to be full of himself. He's going to be desperate to get on the pitch and show what he can do.
We're going to look at some of the fixtures now then. I've got them up in front of me here from the weekend's game. We'll have a little talk about some of the upcoming fixtures, and you can see there that Manchester United have got Southampton at 12:30. The other big one, it's a big game for Everton, Leeds United, Manchester City, Norwich, obviously at 5:30 at Norwich. Manchester United, Southampton, John.
Southampton are a much better side than people realise.
I thought you were going to say United then. I was going to agree.
Well, they're better than United. But I saw some of their game at Tottenham, and all the commentators before the game were saying, oh, no, Tottenham are going to walk this. You know, Tottenham much better side and all the rest of it. Southampton were far, far better than Tottenham all night. And they do surprise a lot of people because no one expects them to be that good. So I think they'll beat United.
Okay, Everton, Leeds, obviously, you know, we looked at the Premier League table earlier. We know that Leeds are just ahead of Everton, 4 points ahead. I mean, it's a huge game, and I personally,
it's a must win for Everton, I think. I think because if Everton don't win that, and I don't think a draw is any good either.
It's got four all written all over it.
They need to win that, because if they don't win that, they're dragged right into trouble, I think, Everton.
I think Leeds will leg them. And I think that's the one thing that Everton aren't good at. They're not. They don't care. They're not running around. Like, Leeds aren't a very good side, but they're going to work hard. They're going to continue to go right until the end. You've got to be concerned, Everton, if you're an Everton fan at the moment. I mean, I don't really want them to go down. And, you know, I've said this a lot now. Yeah. I like them in the 10th to 16th with no hope whatsoever. I really enjoy that. Irrelevance is perfect. Go down. They win 30 games. They feel good about themselves. I don't want that for Everton Football Club. I want them irrelevant in the Premier League, but in the Premier League, crucially. Norwich, Manchester City. Man City 1-0 up, John, after how long?
3 minutes.
It's true, isn't it? But this is the thing. When they're a 5:30 kickoff, as much as I tell myself, John, that I'm not going to watch it, I switch on. At least they've got
At
least they've got the decency to do it early. Because you could watch 85 minutes like United used to do.
Even if half an hour's gone and it's 0-0, you know it's still going to end up 5 or 6-0.
Yeah.
That's the problem, isn't it? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they win 6-0.
Other fixtures then. Notable ones, obviously Liverpool Burnley, 2 o'clock Sunday, we know that. Tottenham Wolves could be an interesting game. Leicester West Ham. West Ham looking solid again, Ian.
Yeah, I think West Ham will win that one. You said it years ago, Moyes is a football genius, isn't he?
I did say it.
But yeah, I think West Ham look really good. The only thing is, I think if they can add a bit more consistency to the game, they could be, not going to say they're going to be one of the best teams in the league, but they'll be there and thereabouts every season. I think he's done really well, Moyes. I think after the United job, I think he's built his... he's built himself up again. He looks like a decent manager again now. And I think if bigger jobs come on, if he wants to go and try that again now,
do you think he'll be given an opportunity?
I think he will in the future, yeah. I think he's shown what he can do. I think Everton could have done worse than bringing him back, to be honest with you. That's what I don't want to get too much into the Everton thing, but I don't think Lampard is the right person for me. But I do think Moyes will get a big job again. If it doesn't work out that time, I don't think he'll get that second chance again. But I do think he'll get one more chance at a big club.
What type of club?
I think someone like a Spurs or someone who needs someone who comes in who's going to add a bit of toughness into the game. Because you look at Arsenal and Spurs and the soft, that's how I describe them, the soft teams need someone to come in who's going to give them a bit of fight and a little bit of... Someone who's going to come in and bring in the type of players that David Moyes signs, because David Moyes signs fighters and he's not going to ever come in and build teams that are going to win 6-7-0. But he'll come in and he'll build a team that'll outfight you and not concede as many goals. So I think he'd be a good shout for like Arsenal or Spurs.
Interesting stuff. So there you go. What about our game then, John? You want to get the first score prediction in?
2-0.
2-0. Yourself?
1-0. I think it's going to be a tough one, I think. After saying before, I think we can roll them over. Having discussed them a little bit more, I just think it's going to be a nervy game for us, but one that we'll get over the line.
I think we're going to absolutely smash them. I think 3-0, and we proved that there's a massive difference in the league table for a reason. You know, feels like we're teetering on the edge now of being that confident Liverpool side. You know, Salah's come back. Everything just seems to be going right, which is probably why, you know, that won't happen. Because we can't have too much of a good thing. We've already support the greatest football team in the history of football clubs. They can't have us happy the whole season through as well. But I do think it's going to be 3-0 to Liverpool. I thank you very much for joining me. We've got some incredible content upcoming on Red Men Plus, our streaming service, and on our YouTube channel, so stay tuned for that. But seriously, some of the stuff that we've got planned in the build-up to the League Cup final is absolutely superb. We've got an incredible in conversation with the man of the match last time out, Stuart Downing, and a few more special little things. If you want to see what's going on Red Men Plus, then check this out and get yourself signed up to the redmentv.com. Thank you very much for watching, and we'll see you all soon. Ta-ra. The League Cup final is nearly upon us. We're excited, you're excited, and we've got some incredible content upcoming on our streaming service, Red Men Plus. We've got an exclusive in conversation with the League Cup 2012 man of the match, Stuart Downing, talking through his memories of that day. We've got an incredible silverware stories featuring the likes of Sander Vesterveld, Emil Heskey, Darren Pearce of Birmingham, amongst others, looking back at that 2001 League Cup victory, as well as an incredible podcast series with the men who lived and covered each and every one of Liverpool's record-breaking 8 League Cups so far. This is how you get excited for the League Cup. This is how you build up to a final, and it's only available on Red Men Plus. www.theredmentv.com. Get yourself signed up and get this content. It's incredible.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.